Good morning, Devon Community Church. It's so great to have you with us and great to be preaching from the Word of God again. I see maybe my preaching was okay last week, so you've come back, so that's good. That's great. My name is Cole, if we haven't met yet, like I said earlier, and I'm thrilled that you've chosen to join us today, both in person and online. It's so great, and especially want to welcome any first-time visitors or guests. It's so great to have you with us. We're just going to begin with a word of prayer to prepare our hearts to hear from God's word this morning. And so would you join in with me? Thank you, Lord, for your Bible, your word, that you guided the creation and preservation of your Bible by your Holy Spirit, so that we today can learn and hear your truth. I pray that as the Holy Spirit guided its authors and its creation, that he'd guide us today as we interpret and apply your truth to our lives. Amen. So, you can tell by the wall behind me, as I said last week, we're in a season of growth as a church, and that is our theme. And what God is calling us to be as a community. He wants us to grow into the community he desires us to be this year. And so, over the course of this year, we're going to be looking at a number of areas of growth. And if you joined us last week, we looked at the area of growing God's temple, which fell under the area of stature, the broader area, or growing in spiritual maturity. And so, if you missed last week, I'm going to recap it a little bit because it's important as I preach this sermon today. And so we learned last week that God's temple is where God dwells and reigns with his people. In the Old Testament, it used to be a building with the Israelites. But through the work and ministry of Jesus, it has now become the collective of God's people, also known as his church, which is modern day. That's his modern day temple. That's where he rests and rules and reigns. That's where he makes his presence known in a particular way. And so last week, we learned that this year, God wants us to grow his temple by doing three actions. And those three actions were making God a priority, trusting in his plan, but also relying on his presence, trusting in his presence. And by doing those three actions, we will grow this very church and this very community by making God a priority, by trusting in his plan, and by trusting in his presence. Well, today we're going to further explore that third point. I mentioned last week that I was going to be talking on that a little bit more, which is trusting in his presence and how that relates to growing God's church here now in this very community. We read last week in Zechariah that it is not by might or by power, but by God's spirit that his temple is built. And so it's the same thing for the church today. It's not by might or by power, but it's by his spirit that the church is built in modern day times. Which raises the question for us, how does God's Spirit help build and grow the church? Well, the answer is simple, but we're going to be exploring this today and diving in so we really understand it well. And the answer is spiritual gifts. By a show of hands, how many of you work in a trade where you work with your hands and you work with tools all the time? Yeah, there's a few. How about, do you have hobbies maybe that you do? Maybe you like to garden and so you use tools to garden. Okay, a few more. There we go. Okay, imagine if I took those tools away, it'd be very hard for you to complete the task that you need to do. It'd be very hard. It'd be almost impossible, you might say. For example, I change my oil a couple times a year in my car, and so I'll twist off the oil filter with a wrench and the plug to get it off, and then I'll also put my car on a ramp so I can get underneath. Now, if I didn't have those tools, it'd be very hard for me to actually change my own oil. And so it's very similar in the way that we need God-given gifts. You could call them tools, to effectively build his church here and now today. And so just as a builder needs to understand the tools that he's working with to accomplish the tasks that he's given, it's good for us as believers to grow as temple builders, to understand the tools we're given by the Holy Spirit to grow and expand his church. And so that's what we're going to be exploring today. And to do that, we're going to be looking at a letter in the New Testament written by Paul, who is one of Jesus' followers and a very early church leader, one of the founding leaders of the early church. He has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, but also the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us, to build God's church effectively here and now today. And so I'd encourage you, if you have your Bibles, maybe on your phone or physically, you can turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4, starting in verse 7. And so you can turn with me there so you can follow along as I read through the passage, as I reference back to it. You can have that open and refer to it yourself in the translations that you happen to have in your hand. And so it's in this passage from verses 7 to 16 that we learn that Paul teaches believers in this passage three truths about the Holy Spirit gifts and tools that he equips us with to build his church. And so let's begin by just reading the passage, getting ourselves familiar with it before we dive into it. And so, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says this, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, he who ascended on high has led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of Christ, the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And so, in this passage, the very first thing that Paul teaches us about the Holy Spirit tools is that the source is Christ himself. We read in verse 7 that it says, "Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." In this verse, Paul is clearly identifying Jesus as the one who gives the gift. He's the gift giver. But what gift is Paul talking about in that passage? He just mentions it's Christ's gift, but he doesn't really identify it explicitly. What gift is he talking about in that passage? Well, it becomes clear as we look at the next few verses. In verse 8, Paul recalls an Old Testament psalm you may read as we read in the Bible. He recalls an Old Testament psalm. He says this in verse 8, "When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Then he continues in verses 9 and 10 to continue talking about this passage, this psalm that he's referring to. He's using language of ascending and descending. And so if you're confused by this passage, that's okay. Sometimes we don't instantly understand God's word. It takes a little work, and that's okay. And so I'm going to help you understand what Paul is talking about and why he's using this Old Testament psalm to refer to the work and ministry of Jesus and Jesus' gifts specifically. And so, if we look at that psalm, if you were to go back into the Old Testament and read that psalm, you would discover it's a psalm of victory. And it's a song about the spoils of victory, even. There's a commentary that summarizes that psalm in that passage this way. He says, it's a reference to the way God gave Israel the plunder of Egypt, which Israel then devoted to the Lord in freewill offerings used for the tabernacle. If we could get that quote up on the screen, that would be great. So there's a commentary that says it refers to this passage, that this it's talking about this psalm is talking about God when he gave Israel the plunder of Egypt, because when Egypt was freed from slavery, they didn't leave empty-handed. They actually left with many gifts, gold, they left with many possessions of the Egyptians, and it was a gift from God as they left from Egypt, as they were heading to the promised land. And what did they do with those gifts? They offered them freely back to the Lord to build his tabernacle, or you might say his temple. And so this is super cool. I thought so as I was learning about this. So in Ephesians, Paul uses a psalm that where a victorious God bestows gifts upon his people, which they then freely use to build his temple, the place where he dwelt and reigned. And so he points to that psalm as being the same thing as what Jesus is doing now. Jesus is now victorious. He's victorious over sin, Satan, and death. He has gained victory through the cross, and now has ascended to the Father, and as he ascends to the Father, he bestows gifts to his followers for the building of his church, his modern-day temple. But what gift is that? What is the gift that he's bestowing as he ascends? Well, we can read about this in the Gospel of John. John, one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, he writes about Jesus saying this. Jesus says this in John 14:7. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And then a few chapters later, Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." And so, the beginning of our passage today is identifying Jesus as the gift giver because he is victorious over sin, over Satan, over death. And so now he is ascending and bestowing the gift of the Holy Spirit to his followers for the building up of his church. Just like in the Psalm, it talks about how God gave Israel gifts for the building of the tabernacle. They freely gave back the gifts God gave them to freely build the tabernacle. Jesus now gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit where we need to freely give for the building of his church. It's pretty amazing. I love how the Old Testament helps us understand and get a fuller picture of Jesus in the New Testament. So if Jesus is the source of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we receive, and subsequently the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for us today as a church? How do we apply that truth that Paul has taught us in this passage? Well, it's logical to assume that we first need a relationship with Jesus to receive a gift from him. It's just like with a physical tool. I have a hammer here. A hammer just doesn't magically appear in your hands. You have to get it from somewhere. You have to go to the manufacturer to receive the gift of the hammer so you can have the tool to work on the project that you need to work on. And so in a similar way, not saying the Holy Spirit is manufactured like a hammer because he's God himself, but God has designed it so that we have to go to Jesus and have relationship with Jesus in order for us to have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And by doing that, we'll be effective builders of his church when we have that Holy Spirit and when we have the Holy Spirit and the tools that he equips us with. And so even right now, I'm going to give a response to anyone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, because that's the first step. I'm not going to wait to the end of the sermon as we often do. I'm going to give it right now because it's important for the rest of the sermon. You can be equipped with the Holy Spirit and then learn what it means to have the Holy Spirit in your life. And so if that's a decision you want to make today to have the helper in your life, as Jesus calls him, who transforms our hearts and our character to be more like Jesus, I'm not saying that life with Jesus is easy when we make this decision to accept him as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean all our problems go away, but it does mean we have someone walking right beside us every step of the way through life. And it means we have purpose and meaning in what we do. We're not just spending it on things that aren't going to last, on things that are meaningless. We spend our life on things that are meaningful and lasting. And we also can freely enter the holy God, his presence. We can enter the presence of a holy God without condemnation, shame, or guilt. We can come freely into the God our Father because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And so God loved us so much that he sent his own son to die on our behalf to remove that barrier between us and God. And so it's so amazing. And so if that's a decision you want to make, I would just encourage you to pray this prayer along with me in your heart. And so as I pray it, just pray it along in your heart and say it from your own words, in your own mind. And this is a great way to start that relationship with Jesus. It's a starting point. And so would you join in with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son to die on my behalf so that I could have a relationship with you. Today, I recognize you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Would you forgive me of my sin and my mistakes? From this day forward, I commit to following your ways, to deepening my relationship with you, and to loving those around me in response to the love that you have so greatly shown me. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, and so if you made that decision for the first time, please reach out to me or to one of the other volunteers here at church, or you can reach out online also. There's a QR code that you can follow, because we'd love to partner with you in this journey with Jesus and support you along the way. And it's so great. It's such great news. I'm so excited if you made that decision today. It's something to celebrate. But there's even more good news. The good news is that you now have the Holy Spirit. If you accept Jesus, you now have the Holy Spirit. Not just to help you transform your own life, working on your own character, your own heart, but to actually help you transform the lives of those around you. The Holy Spirit equips us to transform lives around us. And that's what Paul's next point is in this passage in Ephesians. So the first truth that Paul taught us in Ephesians 4 is that the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. It's a tool that we receive from Jesus, the tools of the Holy Spirit. But the second truth is that the purpose of the tools is for others. That's the next thing he teaches the readers of Ephesians. Just like it is with a physical tool, it has a purpose. It's not just meaningless. We can't use it for anything. I don't use a hammer as a paperweight, or I don't use a hammer to saw a board into. And it's just like with spiritual tools, they have a purpose, a design given by the designer. And so they have a tool, they have a purpose in our lives. We can't just use them for anything, or else they won't be effective. And so we read about this starting in verse 11 and 12. Picking up where Paul said, he said, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to what? To equip. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. And so the purpose of our spiritual giftings that God gives us is to equip God's people for the work of the ministry, which, as we learned a few weeks ago, is just another word for service. So to equip people to serve, but also to build up his body. And so the Holy Spirit tools are given to equip us to help serve and build each other up into Christ and what he wants for us, his goals for this church. It's pretty amazing that they literally enable us to serve and build each other up. And so it's very important. And to note that the DNA of these Holy Spirit tools are other-focused. It's not about building ourselves up, but it's to equip one another to build each other up. And so the DNA, the very heart of the Holy Spirit gifts, is others' focus. But to what end? What is the goal of these tools? Like, what's the purpose of this tool, and what's the goal of this tool? Well, Paul goes on for the next few verses as we read. Through verses 13 through 16, he actually explains the goal of the purpose of these tools. So it's for building and serving, but to what end? What are we building and serving towards? Well, Paul explains it in the next few verses. If you joined us at the beginning of January, Pastor Bert actually talked on this passage, and he gave five areas of growth that he identified in this passage that we need to grow in as a church this year, and they were stature, speech, strength, the Savior, and service, and those were the five areas he talked about. I'm not going to repeat his message today, but I actually want to look at through these verses through a bit of a different lens and look at three goals that Paul explicitly identifies as what we use our tools of the Holy Spirit for. What is the point of serving and building one another? It's this. It's these three goals. It's unity instead of division. It's maturity instead of being tossed to and fro. And it's love as the foundation and motivation as all we do. That is the goal of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. That is the goal of when we're serving and building up one another by the tools that we have given by the Holy Spirit. The goal is that we would become more unified, more mature, and more loving. That is the goal of our church. And that's the goal of what God wants this church to be. He wants this church to be unified, have greater maturity, and to be operating out of a place of love in everything we do. And so if the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for others, for the building up of the church to the point of unity, maturity, and love, what does that truth mean for us today? I think there's at least two takeaways that we can respond with to that truth today. The first is that we need to have an others-focused mindset when it comes to spiritual gifts in our lives. God didn't give you the gift of teaching so you could just teach yourself about God. No, he gave you the gift to teach others. He didn't give you the gift of mercy so you could just show mercy to yourself, but actually so you could be merciful to those around you. God didn't give you the gift so that it would make you popular. No, we must be careful not to be like a man named Simon in the book of Acts. If you read in Acts 8, there's this guy named Simon, and he sees Peter, one of Jesus' followers, and Peter is giving out the Holy Spirit because that's what God called him to do. And Simon goes up to him, and he desires this gift that Peter has, and he actually tries to buy it from Peter. And so he says this in Acts chapter 8, verse 19. He says, "Give me this power also, so that anyone that whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." And so he sought the gift of the Holy Spirit to make his own name known, to be popular. He sought it for a selfish reason. And so we need to be careful not to have a selfish reason when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are inherently selfless. And so if we have a selfish reason for wanting them or for using them, it goes in direct opposition for what they were given for. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to have that others-focused mindset when we think about our giftings and the Holy Spirit giftings in our lives and in the lives of others. Now, the second way is that we can evaluate how we use our gifts according to their goal. Their goal is unity. So we can ask ourselves, in using this gift that God has given me, am I bringing greater unity to my brothers and sisters in Christ? Am I bringing greater unity as I use this gift in the church? Or is it bringing greater maturity to those around me? In using this gift, is it bringing greater maturity in the lives around me? Or am I using this gift from a place of love, or is it from some other motivation that I'm using this gift for? Because it's a tool. We have the responsibility to use tools. It's not something that overtakes us. We actually have the ability to control when and where we use our tools. And so it's important that we're using them for unity, for maturity, and for love. And so it's really great to have these goals in mind when we're using our tools to evaluate whether we're using the tool for God's intended purpose or not. Okay, so now it's time to look at the third and final lesson Paul teaches us in this passage. So he's taught us that Christ is the source of these giftings and tools. He's taught us that the purpose is for others. Now he teaches us that the tools are very diverse. There are many tools. He says in verse 12 that Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. In just one verse, he gives five different giftings that he's equipped the believers with for the building up of his church. So, apostles. I'm just going to briefly give you a brief sentence about what each of these gifts actually mean. So, the apostles, they were gifted at founding churches, building the foundations of churches. The prophets, they are gifted at giving a particular word from God about a particular situation. Evangelists, they were gifted at sharing God with others. You can think of church missionaries. Shepherds, also known as pastors, they're gifted at caring for God's people. And then teachers, they're gifted at teaching the word of God, the truth of God. But these aren't the only gifts that Paul lists in the New Testament. It's the only gifts he lists here, but he actually lists many more gifts elsewhere in the New Testament. And so let me just list you a few more, just so you can see the diversity of gifts that God gives us as believers for the building up of his church. Elsewhere, Paul says the Holy Spirit gives these gifts: healing, miracles, exhortation, generosity, mercy, leadership, serving, wisdom, faith, discernment, administration, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and even more than that. Now, I don't have time to describe each one of those in detail and what they exactly mean, but I do want to highlight one of them that often causes confusion, which is the gift of tongues. Just to take a moment. So tongues is simply a language that God gives us that is unknown to us personally. We speak it, but we don't understand it. But we read about it in the book of Acts that it is a language that praises and honors and proclaims who God is. And so you can be confident when people are speaking in tongues, they are proclaiming and honoring and proclaiming who God is. Now, out of all the gifts, this is the only one that Paul ever identifies as one that actually builds up ourselves. So I know that goes in conflict with what I just said, that they're for others. This is the only gift that he talks about that actually says it's for the building up of yourself. But what is the chief end of building up ourselves? Why do we build ourselves up if it is not to actually serve each other better? Who knows that it's really hard to serve other people when we're running on an empty tank? Maybe you just got home from work, a long day. It's really hard to invest in the lives of others when we don't have the capacity to do that well. And so when we spend time speaking in tongues with the Lord, it builds ourselves up. It builds up that spiritual tank so that ultimately we can spend that energy pouring it out on those around us and encouraging one another in their giftings by pouring into the lives of those around us. And so ultimately, the gift of tongues, even though it is for the building up of ourselves, the chief end of it is to help build one another up. As we fill ourselves up, our spiritual tank, it enables us to serve others really well. With that said, you may think that all these gifts, there's so many gifts, wouldn't that just cause division in the church? That there's so many gifts, it would just, everyone would be different. Like, it just causes division when there's that diversity. But the opposite is actually true. And that's what Paul's point is in the whole chapter 4 of Ephesians. That's his whole main point of chapter 4. If we were to read right before our passage today, you would see that Paul is preaching unity amongst believers. He is emphasizing that we need to be unified. Jews and Gentiles need to be one. Like, there is one Spirit, there is one God, there is one Christ. We need to be together in this. But he is careful not to confuse unity with uniformity. And so that's why he brings up these many spiritual gifts, because it's actually through the diversity of the gifts that bring unity. Why? Because not one of us is perfect. Not one of us has all the gifts. And so we can just go off on our own by ourselves. No, we actually need to rely on one another when we have different giftings. Because I can't have the gift of teaching, but maybe I don't have the gift of mercy, and now I need to receive mercy. Well, I can't look to myself. I have to look to someone else for that. And it actually brings people together when we have different gifts, because we have to rely on one another. That's how God designed it. And that brings unity. When we need to rely on one another and the gifts that God has equipped each of us individually for, that brings unity in his church and in the community of God. And so, as Paul teaches that there is a diversity in gifts and that they're not all the same, what does that mean for us today? What does that truth mean for us today? It means we need to play our part. We can't just pass the responsibility to the person sitting next to us or the person behind us or the leadership that's on the platform at the time. We can't push our responsibility onto them because they don't have the same giftings as we do. And so we need to play our part in the body of Christ to grow his church. When we skip out on community, whether it's a Sunday morning or coffee with a friend or a small group or maybe speaking to a stranger about Jesus or a coworker, when we don't partake in those community times because we're too tired, we're too busy, or I don't want to talk to people today, we are actually robbing people of the chance to be encouraged by your own giftings But then you're also robbing yourself of the chance to be encouraged by their giftings. And so you're robbing in two ways. You're robbing yourself and you're robbing them from building up of the church and being encouraged by them and you encouraging, being encouraged by them and you encouraging them in their own walk with God. And so we need to make sure that each of us, each and every one of us, are playing our part in the body of Christ. God has equipped you uniquely, and he will equip you even more. As you steward your gifts well, he will give you more responsibility. As we read that in scripture, as we are faithful with little, God will increase our responsibility, increase our role. And so if you want to have a greater role, steward what you have. Play your part. Use your gift in the body of Christ, because the person next to you can't fulfill that role. Only you can. God has placed you in this particular church for this particular time to serve in that particular area for the ultimate unity, maturity, and love of our church overall in this community. And so today, Paul has taught us about the tools of the Holy Spirit that he gives us, that they are from Jesus, ultimately, and so we need to have a relationship with him, that they are for others. We can't have a selfish mindset when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and that they come in many forms, and so that we need to play our part in using our Holy Spirit gifts. However, there is kind of one more point that Paul highlights in his passage, and we find it in verse 7. It says in verse 7 that grace was given to each one of us. This means that the Holy Spirit and his gifts are not limited to just spiritual people or the people on the platform. No, it's available to every single one of us that believes in Jesus and calls him Lord and Savior. However, the thing about gifts, like a present that you get at Easter or on your birthday, if you don't actually open the gift, it has no impact on your life. And so Jesus has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit if you are a believer, but have you actually opened that gift in your life? Have you taken the time to open it? Maybe you have opened it and then you just put it to the side and you haven't actually used that gift in your life for the building up of his church and the amazing reality that it is to partner with God in the building up of his church. There's such fulfillment and purpose and meaning in that. And so we're actually going to take a moment as a church to open that gift or to maybe reopen that gift if we've put it to the side or to ask for even more of that gift. If we've already received the Holy Spirit, that we would receive a fresh infilling of his Spirit and be equipped to build up this church towards love, maturity, and unity this very year. Sometimes we call this act as the baptism of the Spirit. You may have heard it called. Whether you believe that there's some sort of secondary experience of receiving God or not, what I do know is that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's very clear in Scripture. No matter what, no matter where you stand on that issue, we need God in our lives through the Holy Spirit and the giftings that he equips us with to build his church. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit and opening the gift of the Holy Spirit, there can often be some barriers that people have to actually opening up that gift. And so I want to take a moment just to talk about three barriers that we often have that prevent us from opening the gift of the Holy Spirit so that maybe it would encourage you today to take that step to open the gift, Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the very first barrier that people often have with opening the gift of the Holy Spirit is doubt. They doubt that God would actually give them his Spirit, that they could have the Spirit of God living in their lives and operating in a greater extent than he is already. But we read in Matthew 7, Jesus addresses this. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you." That's a promise that can be trusted. And so we don't need the doubt when we ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit that he's gonna be a not someone who withholds that gift from us. But we still need to do that act of asking. And so just ask and see what the Lord does through it. Don't allow doubt to prevent you from even asking. Just ask the Lord and see what he does. Now, the second barrier is fear. People fear where the gifts will take them, or they fear what the Holy Spirit will do in their lives. Oh, am I just going to be this weird spiritual person now because the Holy Spirit is operating through my life? I'm sure you have people in your circles or people you've seen online where you're like, am I going to be like that? Like, I'm scared. I don't want to be like that. That there's a fear about having the Holy Spirit operating in a greater capacity in our lives. Well, we read again in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about this. He says, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And so, even though we may not know where the Holy Spirit will take us and what he will do in our lives, we know where the gift comes from and that the gift comes from a good Father. And so we know that the gift is good for our lives. And so we can trust in that fact and we don't need to fear what God will give us because he is good and he will give us good gifts. The third and final barrier that people often have is the feeling of being unworthy. oh, I'm not ready to receive the Holy Spirit in a greater way in my life, or to operate in those gifts because I have too many struggles, I have too many addictions, I get caught up in this and that. I'm just not worthy. I'm not righteous enough to operate in spiritual giftings. But the reality of a gift is that it is dependent upon the giver of the gift and not the receiver. It doesn't matter, I'm sure even as a kid, no matter how good or bad you were as a kid, your parents are still going to give you a gift on your birthday because they love you. It's because of what they're doing and their love for you that they give a gift. It's not because of you earned it or didn't earn it as a child. And so it's the same thing with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't earn the gift of the Holy Spirit. We simply receive it. And so that's amazing news. Now, I want to give a word of wisdom and a word of caution before we do this. A word of wisdom is to let us trust God's timing in giving of the Holy Spirit. Some of us, it may be an instantaneous experience where we speak in tongues right away, or we receive a gift of healing or teaching in our lives. Others, it may be more gradual, where we slowly develop the gift over time, regardless of the fact we need to steward it and grow in it, whether we get a great measure of it right away or it's something that grows gradually in our lives. We need to steward it regardless. But maybe for others, we actually don't receive any additional giftings of the Holy Spirit today. Now, that's not saying that you aren't worthy of it, because it's not about us. I just said that. It's not about where we stand that God gives us this gift because we earned it or something. He may be saying not yet, because he wants to develop your character first so that you can sustain that gift long term. He doesn't want to give us something that can cause us to fall and stumble. That we also have this gift of prophecy, and then we're relying on the gift of prophecy, and instead of focusing on God, we focus on the gift. Or it causes destruction in our life because we don't know how to use it well. We don't have the patience, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit he wants to develop in our lives first before we have the gifts to use in the body of Christ. And so maybe that's what you need to grow in today, is having that fruit of the Holy Spirit actually grow in your life so that you can have the capability to use this tool well. You can have the skills to use it well, right? You can use the Holy Spirit tools well. Which leads us to the word of caution, and we need to be careful not to turn the gift of God into a God itself. Yeah, we can't turn God's gifts into God themselves. It's good for us to ask for these spiritual giftings, but it's really bad to make them an idol in our lives. There's an example in the Israelites. We were talking about them earlier in the sermon. They just left from Egypt, and what did God give them? He gave them gifts of provision and gold and resources as they left. Now, what did they do with those resources? Well, we read in that psalm that they used it to build their tabernacle, but they also used their gold and their resources to build one more thing in their life. Anyone know what it was? A golden calf. Yeah, an idol. They used the blessing of God and the gift of God to build an idol to worship. And so they used their giftings to create an idol in their lives. And so we need to be really careful not to make the spiritual giftings that he gives us what we worship, what we focus on, make it an idol in our lives, what we ultimately desire. Oh, I just desire to be the gift of healing, and I that's all I want. I want to heal people, instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus and our focus on Jesus as we receive the giftings. And so please caution yourself about making the giftings more than they are. They're for the building up of one another and for the building up of his church, and they are given by God. And so keep God the focus as you seek the giftings. Seek God and trust that he will give you the giftings that he desires you to have. So I'm just going to invite the worship team to come at this time. And as they do that, I just want to set some expectations as we enter into this time of asking the Lord and seeking to open the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Some things you may see. You may see people speak in tongues. There's many in this room that already speak in tongues. And so don't be confused by that. We talked about that earlier. It's a language of praise and honoring and thanksgiving to God that we may not understand ourselves, but God understands it, and it builds up our spirit, our spiritual tank, so it's amazing. But some other things you might see, you may see people fall to the ground or cry out very loud or just have tears coming down their face. These are just normal physical reactions when we encounter a loving, holy, and generous God in our lives. You could think of it as like a sports team. When your team scores a goal, when the Oilers score a goal, you're not just excited in your head, but your whole body reacts to the excitement of the team scoring. That's why people stand up and they raise up their hands. When you experience something so good in your life, you often react physically, not just in your head or in your heart. And so we can sometimes see physical reactions to experiencing the goodness and the graciousness of God in our lives. And so don't be alarmed if there's some things going on at the front, because people are just responding to the goodness and graciousness of God. Now, with that said, I'm going to invite a few of our prayer leaders, Doreen and Glenn and Daryl, to come up to the front. And they'll be up at the front ready to pray for you, to lay on their hands. They have been gifted, and we recognize it as a church, with gifts of prayer and intercession and praying over people. And so just like they're using their gifts for others, this is their opportunity to actually bless you through their giftings. And so would you come up to the front as we sing this song as an act of surrender, showing God, oh, I want to open this gift in my life. I want more of your Holy Spirit at work in my life. I want more of your giftings of the Holy Spirit, so that this year we can grow our church in greater love, maturity, and unity. And I can play a role in that. And so they're going to come up to the front and stand up to the front. And I would encourage you, as we sing and as we worship the Lord, that you would just come up, and they're going to pray over you and ask the Holy Spirit to have a greater filling in your life. So maybe you've been filled in the past. In the scriptures, in Acts, we see that a filling is something that goes over and over and over again. It's not a one-time experience where we receive the Holy Spirit and we open that gift. It's something that we need to continually open and trust that God will work and move through it. And so I'm just going to say a short prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit to come in our lives. And I would encourage you, if that's something you want to open today to a greater extent, so that you can be equipped to build this church this year, to love, maturity, and unity, that you would come up to the front and just receive prayer and just offer yourself, have open hands, being like, come Holy Spirit, just say that simple prayer. It's not about trying to work our way up to be like, oh God, if I just pray enough, if I just seek enough, then God will give me his Spirit. No, God's a good Father. He's going to give us the Spirit when we're ready. And so just trust in his timing in it. So I'm just going to pray, and then just come and receive the Holy Spirit and trust that God's going to do some amazing things through it, not just today, but the fruit will bear itself through this whole year. And I'm looking forward to that. So, Lord, it is your desire that we grow your church in this community. We know that's the case. We read about that over and over and over again, that we need to grow your church. And you have revealed to us that you will do that, and it will only be accomplished by your Spirit, not by might, not by power. And so today we are seeking your Spirit so that we can grow your church in this very community to greater love, maturity, and unity. And so we come today humbly before you, asking for your Holy Spirit to fill our lives afresh and to equip us with many spiritual giftings so that we can partner in the work of your ministry taking place in this very community. The work that's bringing unity, maturity, and love. And so we cry out today, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. And so at this time, you're welcome to come as we sing and play. And so we're going to take a couple songs, and so there's a bit of time. Come when you're ready. Come when you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Come when you desire to seek more of God.